Think back to wintertime. Back to wintertime when we began that four-Sunday season called Advent. When we began that, didn't Christmas Eve seem so far away? Well, the season of Lent is even longer than Advent. And it began not on the first Sunday of Lent, back on March 10th, but actually it began 4 days earlier on Ash Wednesday. And now here we are on the sixth Sunday of Lent, and Lent still has one more week to go. But whether you decided to observe Lent by giving up some practice or item, or maybe by adding some special discipline to your life, at first, Lent may have seemed like it would never end, but now, looking back, maybe it doesn't seem like it's been all that long. My worship series for Lent has been called simply, Listen. The series has challenged us to be attentive to God's gentle nudging, inspiration, caution, guidance, though not always audible, but sometimes referred to as a still, small voice. Let's take a moment to remember where we have been on this year's Lenten journey. We began this series of messages by hearing the story of Elijah. Elijah seeking refuge in a cave for protection from earthquake, storm, and fire. If it was after all that, that Elijah sensed the presence of God as a still, small voice. For him, it seemed to be the sound of sheer silence. From that, we concluded that inspiration from God is often found in the ordinary events of life rather than in majestic places or spectacular experiences. The next week, we heard the story of the resurrected Jesus appearing on the evening of that first Easter, and he breathed upon his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And from that, we considered how becoming more aware of our own breathing can be a way of using our bodies to help listen for the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, seeking to work in us. 2 weeks ago, we had an experience of a spiritual approach to engaging with Holy Scripture. We were listening and noticing what words or phrases or images would stick out for us in the passage, and then we would ponder why that might be that those words stuck out. Last week, we recalled the story of the woman who strained to reach out and touch even the hem of Jesus' garment, absolutely certain that even by that brushing encounter with the Christ, that would bring her healing that had eluded her for 12 years. From her experience, we realized that sometimes prayer takes the form of actions rather than words. Today, we're going to consider how solitude can be another way we can shape our lives so that we have a better chance of becoming aware of God's still, small voice guiding and comforting and encouraging us. And I'll admit that there is some irony that we're considering solitude on Palm Sunday. I mean, on this day, we remember Jesus in the midst of a noisy, exuberant, expectant crowd parading down the Mount of Olives and then up into the city of Jerusalem. But of course, throughout his ministry, Jesus devoted so much of his time and energy to the public dimensions of his life, addressing crowds as he walked from place to place, preaching in synagogues, teaching on hillsides, healing illnesses of mind and body, responding to questions from members of the religious establishment. But we even refer to those 3 years of preaching and teaching, we refer to that as his public ministry. So yes, much of his time and energy was spent in public, interacting with individuals and groups, with crowds large and small, in public spaces and in private homes. But remember that Jesus frequently retreated from the crowds, even from his disciples. He regularly sought periods of seclusion in order to pray. He made sure his life included experiences of solitude. A quick survey of the Gospels gives us many examples of Jesus seeking time alone for prayer. Jesus left there in a boat and went to a lonely place by himself. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. He went off to the mountain to pray and spent the whole night in prayer to God. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. And in a story that we will remember this coming Thursday night, after the Last Supper, Jesus and the disciples walked down Mount Zion, down past the temple grounds, down to the bottom of the Kidron Valley between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. And he knew he could have some solitude, some quiet, away from the busyness of the city, there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And instructing his disciples to stay and wait, the Gospels tell us that he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed. And there in the solitude of that wooded park, he prayed one of the most gut-wrenching prayers we read in the entire Bible. He prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not what I want, but what you want." This morning we heard a familiar saying of Jesus. It's familiar because it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 6, Matthew's Gospel presents Jesus offering a thought about prayer. He says, "When you pray, go to your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you." Now that instruction might also seem a bit ironic, given that we're gathered here in what we often refer to as public worship, sitting together, offering prayers not in private, behind closed doors, but we're side by side in this big room. Are we doing it wrong? Is Jesus criticizing us for coming together to offer praise and prayer? Well, that doesn't seem to be the case, since Jesus himself participated in Jewish worship, both in the Jerusalem temple and in local synagogues, where the faithful would gather to pray in public. In fact, the very word synagogue in Greek means to bring together. So it wouldn't seem that Jesus is saying public prayer bad, private prayer good. Jesus' concern is not so much about how we pray or even who we pray with. Jesus is more concerned about why we're praying. What did he say? Why would he say that you should go into your room to pray and close the door behind you? He said it because he knew that people can find it tempting to be concerned about appearing to be pious and devout in living one's faith. Jesus called such people hypocrites. He said, "They love to stand up and pray in the houses of worship and on the street corners so that everyone will see them." and they are noticed, which, Jesus says, is the payoff that they desire more than what they're praying about. So as his way to encourage us to seek and connect with the still small voice of God, rather than to try to garner the approval of others, Jesus uses the hyperbole of closing oneself off in a room in order to pray. He encourages us to seek solitude, to focus on what we pray for, rather than focusing on ourselves. But our challenge is figuring out how to find solitude in our lives. I mean, most of the time, most of us cannot simply go into seclusion for 30 seconds or 30 minutes. We got kids to watch, parents to take care of, a boss who likes it when we stay focused on our work, teachers who prefer that we remain in the classroom, thank you. But we can, in effect, close the door for a moment. We can seek times, brief moments even, times to quiet our spirits, to create an oasis, a refuge. And in that moment, we can embrace a holy solitude, a time to quiet our spirit, a secret place where we can focus our thoughts and our intentions and our prayers on God's presence, on God's activity, on God's attentiveness to us. Our goal is not to let people see how good we are at being prayerful. Our goal is to seek a moment of peace, of focus, of connection with God. And so to imagine what it might be like to create even a moment of holy solitude. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for a minute or two, and I promise you, I will also tell you when to open them back up again. And so rearrange yourself if you need to get into a more comfortable position. And if you would, close your eyes. And imagine that as Jesus went out to pray by himself, he quietly invited you to join him in his secret place. Try to picture Jesus at prayer. Where would his attention be? What would be the expression on his face? What would his posture be? Quietly remain with him. And then when he finishes, imagine yourself in a conversation with Jesus about your own prayer life. Speak to him about the way in which you presently pray. When, where, why. Then ask him what he would look for from you. What is his goal for your private prayer? What more would he desire from you in this area of your life? How do you respond to him? You can open your eyes again. Even in this cavernous room, In the midst of all these people, we've been able to do what Jesus suggested. We were able to go into our own space and close the door so we could attune to and attend to the still small voice. We closed our eyes, but that's not essential. So just imagine all the places, all the times you could do this, that you could create even a moment of holy solitude. While sitting in a waiting room, waiting for the plane to take off, riding an elevator, between innings, at the checkout counter, waiting for the bell to ring, during a commercial, stuck in traffic, waiting for the ding of the microwave, walking in the metro park. God gifts us with the ability to create even brief moments of holy solitude, so that in our prayers we might become aware of God's presence, that still small voice offering God's trustworthy guidance, offering God's blessed assurance.